Hey, this is Allison J. Prince. Welcome to today's podcast episode where I'm bringing in Shelley Coates. Now, for those of you that don't know, Shelley Coates, Missy Smith, and I, 10 and a half years ago, started something called a blog. We had no clue what we were doing. We barely even knew how to log into Facebook. And we decided to invest in a little bit of money. You'll find out the details in just a little bit on starting this thing called a blog. We knew nothing. And over the past 10 and a half years, the three of us have learned so incredibly much about each other, about relationships, about business. And in the beginning, we didn't make a lot of money. Blogging takes time, effort, energy, and a lot of negative making money hours for you to be able to see the success. And so I wanted to bring Shelley on to talk about how we've been able to get along as business partners. Shelley has a superhero power of being able to make relationships work. And so if you have a business partner, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your best friend, and you want to figure out how to make it a long-lasting relationship, this is the podcast episode for you. And then at the end, she also talks about how to work with influencers. So in the business of How Does She, we each have a section of the business, and Shelley works with influencers the most. I work with the growth, and then Missy works with the strategy of getting all the content pushed out on a consistent basis. And so I wanted to bring in the other superpower of Shelley, how she works with influencers, who she takes, who she says no to, and why, and the things that you can do to increase your odds of getting featured maybe on How Does She or a bajillion other influencers out there. Because my power just went out. My power just went out. I'm in Puerto Rico, and that was just kind of weird. So anyways, we're going to dive into today's podcast episode. Get ready to take notes, and don't forget to stay to the end. I'm starting to do the top takeaways so that you can have this information and rock and roll with it. Because you know I'm rooting for you. You know I'm cheering for you. You know in my heart, I know that you can make this happen. Just keep going. Stay consistent. All right, let's dig in to today's podcast episode with Shelley Coates. Hey, you are listening to the Because I Can Life podcast, where we believe we can decide our own income, choose happiness, kick fear in the teeth, and never, ever stop. Why? Because we can. I'm your host, Allison J. Prince, and I went from being a junior high science teacher to building four online multi-million dollar businesses with four kids at my feet. Each week, I'm bringing you real conversations that have led me, as well as other experts, to step into our dream online business lifestyle so that you can get the answers you need to craft your Because I Can life as well. Take that first step and commit now to your Because I Can life by downloading your free personal bundle at allisonjprince.com/bundle. All right, Shelley Coates, I'm so glad you're here.
Hey,
thank you for joining us. We've been business partners for what, 10 years now?
11.
And BFFs for like 35. We just knew each other somehow, magically. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I think we met 12 years ago, 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And started.
Met you at church. And I remember thinking, there's the perfect Prince family. Totally. They have two girls, two boys. She's super hot. He's super hot. They're perfect.
Something like that. We were taking notes from the Coates family. Okay. So will you explain? I got my version of how does she started. Will you explain your version of how does she started? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I think they're similar. This is such a fun story though. So we were just scraping by. Alice and I were good friends, and we were couponing and living off coupons for sure. Late night runs to get diapers for dirt cheap. And we just wanted to make a little contribution to our family. And I had some skills. Allison had some skills. Missy had some skills. We were all good friends. And we thought, why not? Why don't we just give this a go? And Allison's so business-minded, obviously, that she's immediately thinking, money, let's do something. So we started talking one day. And I remember sitting down at our very first meeting, trying to decide what we wanted to do, how we wanted to do it. And I remember Allison saying, can you imagine how much this could change your life? What would it take to change your family's life financially? And I remember thinking, if I could contribute $1,000 to my family a month, $1,000, my life would be forever changed. And I didn't think it was possible. I thought that that was a real reach and a real, you know, a real reach up there. But I thought if I could contribute $1,000 to my family, everything would be different.
I didn't know that was your number.
Yeah, no, I think I said it. And I think we all kind of talked about it and thought, oh yeah, me too. $1,000, that would be incredible. And so, but here's the real tricky part is that we had to come up with $150. Was it 150?
I thought it was 125, but
okay, 125.
Either way,
well, we had,
it was so much
whatever fun. It was, this is the problem. We had to come up with that much money each. There's three of us. We had to come up with that much money to put on the line to risk. And at the time that was so much money to us. And it was, I almost walked away. Nope, can't do it. $125, can't do it. Too risky for us. And I remember we still tease about this, Allison and Missy and I tease about it, that my husband, who loves and supports me so much, but he would tease me about it and say, it's fine, just take it. I have to look at it. It's flush money down the toilet. and that sounds like he's a big jerk. No,
he's not. He's so sweet.
No, he's such a great guy. But in his mind, he literally had to let go of it because he was like, you do you, here you go, here's $125. I can't focus on it because it meant so much to us at the time.
It was like 2 weeks of groceries.
Maybe three with her couponing days.
Yeah,
for sure. So he, and I still love to jab at him about that because obviously that was the best financial decision of his whole entire life. And obviously it was our decision together, but I always tease him all the time. I'm like, how's $125 treating you? So anyway, that's my version. It was really tough the first year or two. I'm going to keep going about, do you remember the $1,000, Allison, how I wanted to take my 333 and split?
Oh, 100%. Very clear.
So I remember we were probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 months into How Does She, and we finally had $1,000 in our bank account together. And we had these little meetings. We were able to meet in person at the time. Which
was it
so
3 months?
Oh,
whatever the
like
timeline was, I feel like we worked for negative money for so long.
Oh, we did. We worked for negative money for so long. And it was so tricky because we were working 15-hour days and then somebody would work 11-hour days and then we'd be frustrated with each other and we were making nothing and we all had a bajillion babies and we're nursing. And I mean, I had twin babies at the time. So all those feelings, I remember them. They were so raw, so real, so frustrating. And we had nothing to show for it. Nothing. After about 3 or 4 months, somehow we were able to get $1,000 in our bank account. And I remember coming to this meeting and Allison said, you guys, we just made $1,000. We have $1,000 in the bank account. And I'm like, sweet, 333. I'm taking my 333 out. You know, like that was so incredible. I'd made my money back at that point. And I was so excited to come home and say, I have my $333, my third of the $1,000. And Allison was like, yeah, no, that's our safety net. You have to keep that in there. And we almost broke up right there. I was like, no. You can't take my $333.
I didn't take it. We were saving it, Shelly.
I know. But I remember being very frustrated. Like, I've worked so hard and I can't even have it. Obviously, she wasn't saying didn't tell me I couldn't. But it was, you're like, it's really smart if we keep it in there. And anyways, so since then, we keep a much larger little nest egg in there to, you know, for emergencies or unforeseen expenses or to hire. And that's probably business 101 for something I learned from Allison is that you always need to have a little nest egg on the side there. And I forgive you.
Wait, no. Maybe I should forgive you. I love
you. Well, whatever it is, we're forgiven.
You just publicly forgave me for starting our first business saving account.
It's been heavy on my shoulders. I really wanted that 333. But it's water under the bridge.
Okay. So now for those of you that are listening, we've been in business we just crossed our 10 and a half years of being business partners together. And we're still business partners together. And I think Shelly, Missy and I, Missy Smith is our third business partner. We have experienced it all. We have experienced complete compassion, love, frustration, grumpiness, anything that you can imagine together. And yet we're still business partners. And now I have seen a side of Shelley and Missy that I love and adore because we have seen the best and the worst of each other, and yet we're still doing this business together. And I have to attribute a lot to you, Shelley, because you are a peacemaker. And I love how you're able to do that. So what I want to talk about today is, number one, how you can be the peacemaker in your business. And then number two is, Kate, we started with nothing, zero following, zero Facebook. I remember we didn't even know how to log into Facebook. And the first Facebook account was set up wrong, and it was such a hot mess. Now we have over 2.1 million followers, and we have businesses coming to us and asking us for advertising and things like that. And what we do, I'm going to just let you decide, or you say, how we choose businesses to work with and then which ones we turn away. So for all the listeners that are starting a business or have their business going, to give them more insight on how they can approach influencers even better. So number one, let's kick it off. Whether you're working with business partners or your husband, how is Shelley? What do you do to be the peacemaker?
Keep the love. Okay, well, it's wired in my personality that I absolutely hate confrontation. Everyone's wired differently. And I wouldn't say that that's always the best thing about me. I think that it is a strong point. And I appreciate that you see that in our relationship and in our business partnership, especially because there's three of us. And I know you guys value me in that area. And I really do appreciate it. But sometimes it's hard because I can get hurt easily. I can overthink things. I definitely overthink things a lot. And sometimes those hard business decisions that sometimes need to be firm are really hard for me to make and to implement. So I will say I definitely do have those weaknesses. And sometimes business isn't just cut business to me. It's like, it's friendships and am I going to hurt feelings? And so know that there is pros and cons to having that personality. But with trying to be a peacemaker, I just know that you can catch more bees with honey than vinegar. As my great, great, great grandmother once said. But the point being is no one likes to be attacked and anytime we have disagreements, which absolutely are going to happen in business,
in life too.
For sure. And your marriages and your friendships. And then especially when money and business and those things just can get really sticky and really personal. And we each have our own feelings, our own perspective. And I think it's really important to know that everyone's perspective is valid and that you're not always right or Missy's not always right or I'm always right. And really trying to put yourself in that other person's shoes. But another thing with keeping the love and the peace is just really speaking positively about each other and to each other. So for me, when I have a situation, maybe with one of our contributors or with one of my business partners, and I want to address that, you know, I'm going to say 9 positives before I bring up the negative, because there are 9 positives. Absolutely. Like if I'm frustrated with something that I'm going to just use you, I'm going to throw you under the bridge, Allison, just because we've talked.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's nothing. I love you and adore you.
Remember, I can edit this podcast, Shelley.
Absolutely. But if we have a disagreement or we're not seeing eye to eye on something, or say it's the $333, we'll talk about that. Then if I want to approach Allison about that, then I'm first going to tell her how much she's taught me, how much I appreciate X, Y, and Z. And I know that seems like a little bit of fluff, but those are the things that feed us and fuel us in our relationships with our spouses, with our business partners. And I don't want to go into a conversation with you throwing up my hands and getting defensive and saying, what the heck, because then it just ends ugly. So I want to talk about all the great things. And then I'm going to sneak in I want to voice it and obviously talk about it, but I want to talk about it in a really natural way that doesn't seem confrontational and that doesn't seem like I'm trying to attack. And so, I mean, I'm not saying that's the perfect way to do it, but Allison and Missy often will ask me, hey, Shelley, can you send this email? I don't want to be rude, but we need to get this point across. Can you help? And, you know, it's really easy for me to run off an email and focus on those positive things about that person or thank them for being a part of our team and what they've contributed and how much we value them. And then say, hey, by the way, just wondering if we can change this a little bit or X, Y, and Z. And usually it's pretty well received.
Yeah. And I have noticed that and I absolutely love it. So if I'm ever having a hard day or whatever, I just call Shelley and I'm like, hey, talk to me. You really have. And it's not, you said the word fluff, but you're very sincere with your compliments. And so it's not like, hey, Allison, your hair looks good when you know I haven't washed it for 4 days, right? Sure. You are very, very sincere. And I think that is why so many people love being around you and will listen to you and the way that you're coaching them, the way that you're teaching them and the way that you're, I don't want to use the word bossing because that sounds bad, but helping them reach their potential is because you do layer on all the amazing good things that they are doing. So yeah, I love that.
Really quick before I move on from this, I just want to say I'm learning so much about myself in my 30s. I'm not 40 yet, but
almost, in my 30s, Shelly, almost.
I'm really learning a lot about myself. And I think that all of us, you know, male, female, husbands, kids, all of us, we have this, I don't know, 5% of us that is difficult, you know, a quirky personality or something we struggle with or something that's like just a part of us that isn't ideal. And it isn't ideal for a lot of people who know us. And it's just that 5%. And it's so easy to focus on that 5% to say, you know, Shelly talks too much or she's loud or, you know, like it's so easy to focus on that 5%. And in my 20s, it would be easy for me to focus on that and talk about that. And now I'm to the point where I'm still learning this lesson. But the 95% about Allison, the 95% about Missy, the 95% about me that is good, I want people to focus on that. And I want people to talk about that. And yes, I'm still working on that 5%. And I'm very aware that it's there for all of us. But let's give each other some grace. And while we do need to, especially in a business situation where sometimes things need to be addressed in that 5%, like it's so easy to focus on the 95% and to just, you know, work on the 5% in our relationships. I'm still working on it and I'm still learning, but I want someone to give me that grace too. And so I try really hard to not be so defensive and attacking when there's conflict.
Absolutely. And I've seen us grow together as a team. When in the beginning, when we started, we were even nitpicking the 1%.
Oh, for sure.
And butting heads. And then now 10 years in the business, we're like, yeah, that 5%, that's nothing.
Right.
That's exactly. Nothing. You're doing amazing. You showed up. You got out of bed today. You should celebrate.
Right. Right. Right.
So it's been fun, hard work, not going to lie. It's been a lot of hard work and learning about who we are, who each other is, to be able to learn that. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Shelly Coates, you're so smart. You see why I brought her on? Those of you that are listening, like Shelly is amazing. She really is just that fresh breath of fresh air. I said that wrong, but you know what I mean? Yeah. That we all need. This is why I loved working with you for 10 years. And I'm not just fluffing it up, Shelly. I'm not just fluffing it up. Okay. So now can we dive down into the tactical for those businesses? Now they know how to get along with their business partners or their husbands if they're working together or their kids. You've worked with your kids before too. We've all done it.
Yeah.
We have businesses. Ask how does she to promote, to push products, to do all the things the influencers do for businesses. You are one of the main contacts when businesses approach us. That is what you've been really good at. And you've done that for what, 9 3/4 year when we were deciding which part of the business we should work. So give us tips and tricks about what you say yes to and what you say no to.
Absolutely. When, first of all, I can tell right off the, sometimes I don't even open an email based on the title because I know that it's a mass email, that it's spam. If it's a super low commission, it's not even worth my time opening. I just am going to click and delete. And I do, that sounds so ruthless and heartless, but I can't, we just don't have time to respond to all those. And I can tell they're not personalized. I can tell they're just mass putting them out there. It's just not worth my time. So if you want to get my attention, you know, first of all, have a great title and an email. Or if you're reaching out through like a messenger or an Instagram message, say something that's personal and not insincere personal. Like I often will, exact same thing in an email. I love your blog so much, blah, 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 blah. And then they just dive into their thing. And I'm like, do you really? I'm very certain that it just seems very insincere and it just like a canned one line sentence. So I want someone who knows that our audience is a good fit for their product. I can't tell you how many times a day in my email or in my, you know, Facebook or whatever, I'm getting contacted for things like a dating site, like come and match.com or, you know, anything that's like, that's not a fit for our audience. And I'm not knocking dating site. I think they're great for the right audience, but they're absolutely not right for ours. Or like male supplements or, I mean, just random things that don't fit with our daughter. So that tells me right now that they're not interested in us. They're trying to just put their product wherever they can sprinkle it. And that doesn't, I'm not going to represent that. It speaks poorly of me because that's not what the voice that I want to send to my readers, that I'm just trying to spam them with whatever I can make money off of, whether it be a dating site or male supplements or like, it's just not a good fit. So if there is a product that you do think is a good fit for How Does She's audience or any audience for that matter, then tell me why. Tell me why. Say, I noticed that you do a lot of gardening and I have the most amazing seeds that my dad helped me put that we had. I use this as an example because we just promoted some amazing sunflowers that did incredible with our audience. But talk to me personally and say, I think that this would go so well. I can see this in a video or in a blog post. And then this is the next thing that's going to get really my attention. Tell me the earning potential. So it's not fun to be a guinea pig on this end of the, a lot of times affiliate relationships, affiliates want you to be the guinea pig because they'll say, okay, like I have these sunflower seeds. I have these sunflowers and they grow beautifully and they're $10 for a package and I'm going to pay you 2%. And you're like, so if I sell your $10 packet of sunflower seeds, then I'm making 20%. Did I do math right on that? 20 cents. Yeah. Sorry. 20 cents. So 20 cents. And then, so how many packets of sunflower seeds am I going to have to sell? So all of a sudden, you know, influencers, I mean, excuse me, businesses often want influencers to do this and see how it goes. Well, if I could sell 2 million sunflower seed packets and I might have $50. It just doesn't make sense. And then at the end of the day, the relationship isn't good, obviously, because anyways, long story short, if the same exact person came to me and said, hey, I have these amazing sunflower seeds. I just tried them over on Susie's website or on her Instagram. She just sold $2,000 in commissions to herself in the last 48 hours. I'm listening. I'm totally listening. You're giving me numbers. You're giving me, and sometimes you don't have that data to present, but if you don't, still present it in a way that's really, you get your margins where they need to be. So both people are happy. So we're selling you tons of sunflower seeds and we're also making money. So we're going to come back together two or three times a year to sell you sunflower seeds because it's a win-win for both of us. It has to be a really good two-sided relationship. And if I'm saying you have the margins to give me $5 on a $10 packet or even $3 on a $10 packet, and you're telling me that we often sell 1500 packets, I'm listening to those numbers. So don't be afraid. And you don't have to say, you know, who you're working with or what they made, because I know that's kind of private sometimes. But if you let us know, obviously very factual data with numbers that are appealing, then I'm absolutely paying attention. I'm absolutely willing to give it a try on an affiliate basis. An affiliate is tricky because it's percentage based. And if we don't sell, we don't earn money if you're not selling your product. But sometimes influencers don't want to take on the risk of that percentage because they don't know what it looks like. So if the percentage, if the numbers are great, we're going to try affiliate. However, if you really want me to try and let's switch it up, if you want me to sell your earrings, And we can't figure out a good affiliate relationship, the best way to get my attention then, because we don't have numbers, we don't know how much we're going to sell, and you really want us to promote them, then offer us a flat rate. And flat rates are a little trickier. I like affiliate relationships better because you want your influencer to be working really hard. So I would just caution you that if you do use a sponsored rate, to protect yourself, get a contract. Say, not just, I want you to promote this. Here's $2,000 to promote my earrings. What does that look like? You know, I want five Instagram stories. I want two Facebook features. I want a video. And so you know exactly what you're going to get for that $2,000. Because honestly, if you don't, then they're not going to be working as hard as if they were on a percentage basis and earning a lot of money because they're continuing seeing the fruits of their labors.
100%. 100%.
So sometimes sponsored relationships are fantastic and they're appropriate. I think affiliate relationships are better if you can get your profit margins to where they need to be, because you're going to make your influencer work harder for it. But I'm not going to work for it if it's 20 cents a packet.
And yeah, if you really want me to 10 years building up this audience. And so 2% conversion is almost like a slap in the face, I feel like.
Oh, absolutely. But if the same exact person came to me and said, hey, I only have 20 cents a packet to give you on this, but, and I know that doesn't appeal to you, but I don't care about affiliate. I'm just going to pay you $4,000 and I want you to do X, Y, Z, Z. I'll be like, great. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to do all your deliverables and you're going to pay me $4,000 and we're going to walk away. And I'm still going to promote those, but it's because I know what the end number looks like. And I'm not scared about making $40 after hustling for a week. And that's all I end up with. So you just have to really weigh your options and what's most appropriate and do your research on whoever you want to present your product. Speak to them and speak to them why your product is going to speak to their audience, how it's going to solve a problem for their audience.
Perfect. Okay. So you talked about listing out some of the things they can do to sell the product for you. What are your favorite ways to sell people's products?
Okay. Absolutely. I have to have it in my hands. I have to, if somebody says I have a gal who has a piano teaching like preschoolers how to start playing the piano. Well, I have a preschooler. She reached out to me and she said, do you want to promote this? Well, absolutely. I'm not going to promote it until I've tried it and I can stand behind the product. So that is, I would say 50% of the time people make the mistake of just assuming we're going to promote something that could be crap, could, you know, we want to be able to stand behind the product. And so she sent me, oh, look, it's literally right here. This is one of the things that she sent me. This is like a staff, it's magnets, all the different notes. And this is just one of the things she does. Anyway, she sent it to me and she said, try this, see how it goes. I loved it. My kid loved it. Doing incredibly well on the piano for the age that he's at. And it's because of this. Now we are on a commission-based relationship and we're doing pretty well. I wouldn't say we're like blowing it out of the park, but I really believe in the product. I really like supporting it. It's making decent money. And she continues to follow up with me. She promotes that product on Jane or some of the Daily Deal sites. And she'll just send me an email and say, hey, just a heads up, it's over here. And sometimes I will if it's convenient or sometimes I won't. I made a little video of my kid using that. And every time she thanks me. And I don't need anyone overthinking me or kissing butt or anything like that. But it feels good to feel appreciated. So just be like, hey, I noticed you did that. I really appreciate it. And every once in a while, she owns another little business. And she sent me a little, like a syrup jam package of some other business she owns, just as a thank you. Just, I'm thinking about you. Thanks for having my back. Does that make me want to do it again the next time that she has something? Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's building that relationship. And in this case, it's not necessarily about killing it with numbers. I mean, we are making a decent handful off that, but it's not life-changing or anything like that. But I'm going to continue to promote it because I like her. I like her message. I like her product and I like the relationship that we've built. So I guess going back to the basic, I want to have the hands in my product. I mean, the product in my hands. I want to have the product in my hands and I want to be able to show it, to physically touch it. It's so much easier and then no strings attached. That's one thing I really wanted to focus on. Sometimes people will send me like junk, crap. I don't even want it. They send it to me, which is very nice of them, but then they're angry because they expected me to do X, Y, and Z just because they sent it to me. And at the end of the day, it is going to get my attention no matter what. If you send me something, and often if you were like, hey, do you want me to send you a pair of earrings? I'd be like, no, it's fine. Like, but if you just say, hey, I have a little something for you. Can I get your address? No strings attached. I just want to send you something. Oh, I'm curious. I don't have any idea what that looks like. So I'm curious. I'm like, yeah, sure. Here's my address. Don't think about it for 2-3 weeks. All of a sudden it comes. And then there's a little note in there. Hey, hope you enjoy these earrings. If you love them, I would love to talk more. If not, no worries. I hope you enjoy, you know, whatever. And I feel like that was so kind of her. I don't really like these earrings. I don't think they're going to convert, but I might shoot her an email back and say, thank you so much. I think that this would be a really good fit over on my friend's website who focuses on earrings or whatever, or focuses on fashion or something that I can help them with without me necessarily promoting the product because I don't think it's going to fit. I'm in their court at that point. I'm in their court and I'm a cheerleader for them just because they've got my attention versus the person who said, hey, can you put up men's supplements? I'll give you 2%. Two totally different situations, even though the product wasn't right in either of them. So when the product is right, we love doing videos. We love showing our kids. Some influencers are just really powerful in their voice. I personally am not the face of How Does She. Andrea, we have a gal who is incredibly charismatic and she's just a friend to everyone. And she is the one who sells a lot of our product. And completely 100% honest, I buy most of the things that she talks about. And I know that like we're getting a small commission off those things. And I'm like, yes, sign me up because she speaks the truth and I trust her. So with that being said, you want to find influencers who really connect with their audience. And if you wanted me, Shelly, to go live with our audience, say a lot of people wouldn't even know who I am. And so that wouldn't necessarily speak to a lot of people. Now, there is an influencer that always catches my eye and her name is Tara Thusen. And she is just really likable and she really connects with her audience. And so anytime she says something, I trust it. I trust what she's... And so if you're looking for a specific, say you're looking at educational products and you want to promote that, look for someone who is an influencer in the homeschool arena. And they are going to sell a bajillion versus honestly, like me over at How Does She, I don't homeschool my children. And I could do an ad for it. We might sell some, but you're going to sell 10 times as many over to the lady who speaks directly to the homeschool audience. So Tara Thusen is a great example of that. I follow her and I really just follow her a lot because of her business and how people react to her. You know, it's just positive and people like her advice. They trust her advice. And I'm not just saying her, there are so many out there that you can find that really connect with her audience. They feel like they're her best friend, even though she doesn't know them at all. They feel like they know her. And those are the ones that you want selling your product, because it's like your best friend saying, hey, you have to go and try this chapstick.
100%.
Best friend, you know, if I told you right now, Allison, I found the best lip balm I've ever tried in my life. My lips are buttered. You would go get it at the supermarket, like right now, right?
Kelly, you've told me that. And guess what? I'm addicted to it. It's the Buxom.
Oh, the Buxom. Yeah. Buxom lip gloss. Absolutely. So it's that trust. And if Tara Thuesen has someone like me — Tara Thuesen does not know me — if she has someone like me and she says, hey, go buy this lip gloss, I'm like, I'm listening, Tara. I'm going to go buy it, because I trust her and because I like her. And that took a long time to build. So influencers are so powerful, but you have to use the relationship appropriately and sincerely. And if you can find that balance where they're making money, they're selling your product, it's magic.
100%. It's the three-way triangle. Influencer wins, business owner wins, and the follower wins.
100%. Absolutely. And you don't want the follower to get the product and be like, oh, these two are in on it together. This is crap. You know, that's not — that triangle is a perfect way of explaining it, because it's not all about making money. It's also about keeping that branding right and keeping our relationship. And so next, if Tara sold me something that was trash one day and I bought it, the next time I would probably not buy from her. I'd be like, this is crap. You're just trying to make money. I'm not going to trust you. And I'm not going to — but she hasn't done that, and I'm sure she won't ever. So I will continue to buy things.
Yeah. It's a perfect triangle. It's not a lopsided triangle.
Absolutely.
All right. So newbies, I know we got to wrap up soon. So give me two tips for newbies that maybe going to the influencer with 2 million followers, it's probably not the fit right off the bat. Sure. How do newbie business owners start working with influencers?
Absolutely. Well, you're right. If someone came to me and said, hey, I have sold something and I've never sold it before and I'm brand new, I would say, like, go — I would wish them luck and send them on their way. But speaking directly to that business owner, I think going to the people who maybe have less than 10,000 followers on Instagram, I think is a fabulous place to start, because those people under 10,000 follower Instagrams, they're trying to build their audience. They're trying to build that trust. And they will, like Allison and Missy and I did, we worked for negative money for a long time, and they're willing to put in the work to get people to trust them, to get people — and not that you want them to make negative money. That's not the point. You obviously want to make them money, but you might not have as much risk to play or money to invest or all those things. So start small with them. You know, maybe that person would take on the earrings that we're not going to take on. And then once that person has some data, even if it's small, you know, so let's say the conversions — we could focus on the conversions. Say she has an audience of 10,000 and they were able to sell 200 pairs of earrings. Like, those numbers are pretty good. So come to me and then present that data and say, well, this is the percentage, you know, figure out the 10,000 followers versus the 200 buys. Look at the potential could be with your 2 million followers. Imagine if we had that same conversion rate with your 2 million followers, and you could even like throw in a number there. That looks like it could be $8,725 if we play this right. I'm listening, and all of a sudden that jumped really quick from under 10,000 to the 2 million audience. So it might take you a few times working with smaller influencers to get the data that you need to present to bigger players. But there's little baby steps too. Once you do the 10,000, move up to 25. Once you're at the 25,000, move up to 50, you know. And then, so once you start playing in that realm a little bit, you're going to get the data you need to start jumping really big. And all of a sudden you'll be worked where you want to be with influencers. But one more thing, that being said, sometimes those 10,000 followers that are focusing on homeschool are way more powerful than the 2 million followers on How Does She. Again, because we're talking about the 10,000 homeschool specific, ready to buy your product, versus the 2 million followers of How Does She, who might have 500 people who are focusing on homeschool.
Yes.
So it's — your more bang for your buck isn't with the 2 million followers, it's with that smaller group anyways. So yeah. Don't always just look for numbers.
And one more thing, remember when we worked for our free t-shirt and we thought we were like, that was the best thing in the entire world.
Uh-huh.
And I have to go back to that a lot and remember, it wasn't about the money, because I knew we were so small and didn't think that we could actually charge anything. But that shirt that was worth $25 was worth way more than the $5 buttons we would put on our website.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So product — if you're a small business starting out and you can't pay someone $200 to promote something on their Instagram story, just like, I would love to swap, especially, I mean, if it's a great product, like this thing, for example, right? I have two preschoolers that are learning the piano right now. And this product appealed to me, even where we're at with Audition, our followers and our earnings and things like that. When I saw this, I was like, I want this. Guess how much this is? It's like $30. You can buy it for $30. But it had my attention. And if she, I mean, so if you're speaking to someone who wants the product that you have, whether it's baby moccasins or teaching your child how to play piano, if it's something they're interested in, it's worth more because it's fun. It's fun to get a package with something that you've been wanting instead of the $30 that, you know, I would never promote that for just a $30 flat fee. But if you send me the little, this is amazing, I'm going to see how you do, let's try affiliate. Awesome. And it's just kind of a funny mind game where we put our value. And if you have a great product, and especially for people who aren't making a lot of money off of their influence quite yet, those products can be a game changer. It's so fun to get a free shirt or to get a free music thing or to get a free pair of earrings, especially when you don't have a lot of money coming in. It's just fun that you're getting something for doing something.
You're rewarded for the work that you have been working so hard on.
Even if it's small, they're acknowledging it. Absolutely.
And then you can grow into the money.
Yep, exactly. We would have promoted that all day, every day. They'd send us 50, we'd do it for we would have given it to all of our friends. We'd have given that for Christmas presents.
Awesome. So, Shelly, thank you. Thank you.
I love you, Allison.
I'm so grateful that we met so many years ago.
Me too. I'm forever grateful for so many reasons. Obviously, financially, how does she watch me tear up, Allison? Seriously, it's because your face is right here. Obviously, for financial reasons, how does she has changed my life. But more importantly to me, like our friendship and what we've learned from each other over the years, like this, it's been amazing. I love you.
I love you too.
And I admire you so much. So anyone who's listening to it, this chick knows what she's talking about. I've learned so much, both personally and from our business relationship. And it's really helped me become who I am. So you're a good one.
Thank you. And I agree. I think us learning this business has helped us become better wives, better mothers, better human beings, because we've been pushed to uncomfortableness over and over and over again, pushing our limits, not staying comfortable. And I'm so grateful that I chose business partners who've been forgiving, because we all make mistakes.
Likewise.
Shelly, you're the best. I love you.
Cheers
with our Coke.
All right. Bye, friend.
All right. That was fun with Shelly. As you can tell, I could probably talk to Shelly all day long. We have so much fun working together. We've been on the phone for hours talking, scheming, planning, all the good things and bad things about running a business. So let's dive into some of the top takeaways from Shelly. Number one, I've got my list right here. You can catch more bees with honey than with vinegar. Number two, everyone's perspective is valid. Number three, speak 9 positives about someone before you get into the negative. Number four, I love this one. 5% of everyone is downright difficult. You can choose to focus on the 5%, or you can focus on the 95% that is oozing goodness out of someone's soul. Number five, your email titles, your direct message titles to your influencers matter. If they look like spam, they look like junk, if they look like mass emails, they're going to get deleted. So make sure you take the time, make them personal. Number six, have a good product. Don't send them junk. Make sure your product is good. Number seven, tell the influencer why your product is a good fit for them and for their audience. Number eight, tell them the earning potential. How much money could they potentially make based on some of your previous sales? Now, if you don't have previous sales, start small. You can work with trading of products with someone that's just getting started. Number nine, get your product into your influencer's hands. Number 10, follow up and make sure to use the good old word of thank you. Don't forget to tell your influencers thank you. And the last one, coming in at number 11, find influencers who speak truth, because you'll have a better shot because their followers have trusted them for a while. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that podcast episode with Shelley Coates, my business partner, 10 and a half years. We also have another business partner that we talked about, Missy Smith. I truly love those women. Like we talked about before, they've helped me to be a better person, a better wife, a better mom, a better business person. And I truly am grateful for those women. Anyway, I will see you next week on the Because I Can Life podcast. Oh, that was so much fun. Thank you so much for listening to Because I Can podcast. If you haven't already downloaded the Because I Can bundle, then head over to allisonjprince.com/bundle. The only place you can get access to your personalized bundle. So head over there now and download it. I look forward to you joining next time on the Because I Can podcast. We'll see you then.